Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now.
Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now. If you haven't already, go check out Inward Half Golf at InwardHalf.com. Well, enjoy the walk in with Inward Half. I'm going to let y'all continue this argument. Is Vince Young a bust?
Yes, he is.
Yes or no?
What do you think, Jake?
What do I think?
Because you know where me and Marcus stand. We know where Jack stands. You haven't really said either way.
He played a total of what, Marcus? Four seasons? Five seasons.
He played
50
for the
games.
Titans.
He started 50 games. He was 31-19 well, starter. No, 42-42.
We're not going to say he started all of them because.
Well, that was his record, Marcus.
He got benched a lot.
That was his record.
If he got benched a lot, then he's a bust.
He played six total seasons because he had that 1 year with Philly, which was, as he called it, the dream team, and that team fell apart.
Yeah, it did.
That was a nightmare. I think he's a bust.
Hard to argue.
Yeah, I think this is how it goes.
Okay, all right.
I mean, look, he went 0-1 in the playoffs. You know, got to do this real quick. Hosier said he's going to take you to church. I'm going to take you to school here, Brett. So he goes 0-1 in the playoffs, so he's automatically can't succeed in the postseason, which I think a lot of us define success in the postseason. I think you would agree with
Mariota
that.
Mariota got one at least.
Jake. Yeah, Mariota's got some wins in the postseason. He went
he was also on a Netflix documentary.
As a Titan. Yeah, well, Vince Young also has been in the news for being broke and not using his money wisely. So he's been on TV too. Basically, he went 42-42 as a Titan when it came to touchdown interception ratio, which meant he was, for a third overall pick, very underwhelming. That you're the third quarterback or the third player picked, the first quarterback picked. You won a national championship with Texas. You're expected to be this great player. Bud Adams pretty much forces Jeff Fisher to take him.
I'm not arguing. That's not my argument.
But he's a bust.
He's not a bust. Like, I'm not great. I'm not bust either. I'm, like, in the middle.
How?
You've won more than you lost in the NFL, Marcus. I don't know how you can say that's a bust.
He literally was the third overall pick, and you're going to tell me, like, Trey Lance right now?
I'm not arguing about any of that, Marcus.
Trey
I'm
Lance
saying
is
a bust is not 31-19. That's what I'm saying.
John, our friend John brought up a really good point, though. It's a team sport.
John's closer to my side than your side.
I don't think he is.
He was.
I think the main point is you have entire team. You have a Rob Baronis, who was one of the best kickers.
Okay.
Who decided games. It's a team
Tom
sport.
Tom Brady had Vinatieri. What are you trying to say?
That you cannot. All right, hold on.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can, Marcus. Yes, you know you can. The greatest kick I've ever seen in NFL anything. That snowstorm?
No. You're going to try to compare Tom Brady and Vince Young in the same
sentence? To get
no, that's
a lot
what
of
you're
work
doing.
Done.
No, but that's what you're doing. You just said Rob Baronis. So if you're going to bring a kicker to the table, I'm going to bring one of the greatest to ever do it.
You want me to put the touchdown interception ratio from Tom Brady for you real quick? Because I can tell you it's a lot better than Vince Young was.
Okay, but you're the one that brought up Rob Baronis. I'm not going to let you do
no,
that.
No, but my point is.
So Rob Baronis won Vince Young all his games.
Because
I can say Vinatieri did the same thing for Peyton, and he did it for Tom Brady.
Oh, why are you hating on Peyton all of a sudden?
I'm not. I'm just saying you can't bring Rob Baronis to the table.
No, but he was one of my examples. You have to point out.
It's a simple question.
But it's a team game, right?
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Would you argue that the team of the Indianapolis Colts failed Andrew Luck? Because Andrew Luck was a great player, right? He wasn't a bust.
Mm.
He didn't win in the postseason, but he did win some games. He is
don't
not
do
a bust.
That.
Andrew Luck is not
don't
a bust.
Don't do that. Are you sure?
Is this a joke?
Andrew Luck's not a bust.
The only reason he failed was because the Colts couldn't do the right thing and build him an offensive line.
Okay, the Titans failed Vince Young.
Did the Titans fail
yes.
Vince Young?
You could say that.
You could argue that, but I also don't
Andrew
think he
Luck
was good
Andrew Luck went first
enough.
All the way, and he walked away from the damn game.
Because they couldn't protect him. because he was still out there. We never beat Andrew Luck. I don't know if you remember that, but the Titans.
You guys weren't very good either, Marcus.
Okay. All right. All right. Is this what we're going to do? I know we weren't very good, but sometimes Vince Young was able to beat the Colts once in a blue moon. It's 2-5 against them, by the way.
I don't know. My simple argument was 31-19 is not a bust. Was he not? Was he good in the pros? No. But he's not a bust.
He's as a third overall pick. The first
Cutler was 74
taken,
and 79.
I would take Cutler over Vince Young.
I'm getting a lot of work done over here for my day job, by the
way. He won one playoff game. One. That's it. Only went to two.
Still one more than Vince Young. But I'd still take Jay Cutler over Vince Young.
Golly.
Longer career. Has a better, probably a better touchdown interception ratio, I would bet. Maybe not much better, but still better. Probably has more touchdowns than interceptions. And he played in a tougher division. Had to go up against the Green Bay Packers.
All right, well, it's
Brett
settled. I don't think he's a bust. You guys think he's a bust.
I think he's a bum.
How can you be a third overall pick and do what you did there and pretend that you're not a bust? You're a third overall pick. The first quarterback taken. You 100% have to be the guy.
I'd like to bring to the table the host of the morning show here at Fan Run Radio. One,
have a seat,
Mr.
man. Make yourself
John
at home for this
Reed.
Lovely conversation.
You know, I always get a little bit of FOMO. I love just sitting around arguing, and I'm always outside. And I don't get to join in. My show's too chummy in the mornings. I like to argue with people.
You think Bob's chummy?
Yeah, Bob's definitely chummy. Me and Bob get along. me and Bob don't ever really argue, but me and Cody, me and Charlie,
you
me
and
Draven,
Marcus.
Me and Marcus. Like, at my core, I am an arguer, but I haven't really gotten to do that. So let's argue.
I love it.
Let's argue.
I think it's perfect where you're sitting right now because I asked you when I came outside, like, is Vince Young a bust? And you said, it's close.
I'm more interested in what you consider a bust.
Well, that's what I'm trying to ask him.
What makes a bust? That to me is the question.
Because Marcus says he's not. There's no in between.
Well, because it does vary based on certain things. If you're the first quarterback taken, third overall, and you finish your career with the Titans, 42 touchdowns, 42 interceptions. As a career, when he went to Philly for those few games, he ended with 46 touchdowns, 51 interceptions. Third overall pick, going 0-1 in the playoffs, okay. That is a bust. Third overall, first quarterback taken. You have every expectation to be the guy, and you're not? That's a bust. Now, if he was like a second or third round pick, had those stats, you could just say, well, he just didn't pan out. He's not a bust. When you're the third overall pick, you're taken before Matt Leinart. You're taken the guy who you know you faced in the championship game. You're taken only behind Reggie Bush, which was one of the greatest college players to
and
ever
Mario
play the
Williams.
Game.
Well, Vince
and Mario
was
Williams.
Good in college, too.
Oh, I'm not saying he wasn't, but I think if we compared, if you were to say, hey, would you rather Vince Young for 1 year in your college team or, you know, Reggie Bush? You're taking Reggie Bush.
Vince Young.
Yes.
You're
what are you
saying?
What are you talking about? The guy that was single-handedly okay. won a national championship or the guy in the same
he
game
beat
that
Reggie Bush,
lattled
right?
the ball
did
behind
he,
his head?
Did he not beat Reggie Bush?
We're doing
06
that
in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, wasn't even on the field on the fourth down. They gave it to Lindell White instead. But that's a different argument.
Yeah, it's a different argument.
Yes. It's a different argument. It's a dumb argument. So, okay, so when you're looking at bust, do you also take into consideration who was drafted in the same draft as him? Because, like, when you tell me Matt Leinart, okay, Vince Young doesn't feel like much of a bust whenever you're comparing him to Matt Leinart because Matt mm-hmm. Leinart was even worse.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler, I think, had a solid NFL career. But
he just stayed hungover for the majority of his career.
Well, he was 74 and 79 his career. He won one playoff game.
I don't really take the wins and losses too hard into consideration. I just don't think wins are a quarterback stat. Now, when you tell me
really?
74 and 79, that means he played, you know, a lot more years, so Cutler definitely had a better career than Vince Young.
Okay. Right.
You take longevity into account.
Yeah, for
sure.
That's
what he's saying, yeah.
Usually bums don't get to play for very long, and Vince Young right. flamed out of the league.
Really only played 5 seasons. I don't know if we want to count the Philly season, but otherwise 6.
I mean, I count the Bryce Brown season in Philadelphia as a season, even though he only played a couple of snaps. And then had one of the worst, I don't know what you would call that, where he just threw the ball back and you hear over the ref's mic, I hope they cut you, Brown. I hope they cut you, Brown.
My takeaway and my feeling as a Titans fan is that Vince Young had exciting moments. He did not really get better after his rookie year. He went offensive rookie of the year and you know, went on that long winning streak and, you know, got you onto the playoffs doorsteps. He got you into the playoffs, I believe, the next year is how that went. But the year that the Titans were the one seed, you know, he storms off the field and goes missing and gets benched for Kerry Collins. So I think we can agree on this. And maybe, Brett, you can find some middle ground here.
Yeah. As I'm the one trying to find it.
As we find the answer to Vince Young.
Yeah.
Can we make this rule?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're a top five pick, the number one quarterback taken, and you get benched for Kerry Collins.
Yeah, that's sad.
You have to be a bust. If you get benched for Kerry Collins, you have
but
to be considered
also,
a bust.
But you also have a winning record, right? Like, that accounts for something.
That's your only argument. But
it's good, Marcus. It's good.
Is it?
Yes.
So let's say if you're a quarterback with a winning record, let's say you're 5-0, but you throw in those five games two touchdowns, eight interceptions.
No, that's totally different.
That's a great quarterback.
That's totally different.
Because you won five games, though.
But he has at least a 5-year lifespan in the NFL, right?
Joe Milton was 8-4 this year. Do you consider that a bust of a season?
He didn't have a good season, no.
But do you consider that a bust?
But I'm trying to define what bust is.
Right, but I mean, like, Joe Milton didn't live up to the hype of being the 6-year senior quarterback. So I'm just wondering, like, if he went 8-4, do you consider that a bust of a season? Because, I think if you get benched for Kerry Collins, Jake, I think you can agree that's not great.
That's not
great.
Good.
Oh, yeah, you had Milton going 12-0, too.
Well, I did. I was prisoner of the moment. I've always said that.
And he busted out. He busted out. Even at 8-4.
Yeah.
Even at a 67% win clip, you'd say he busted. So that's my final verdict.
You bench for a 40-year-old Kerry Collins.
looking forward
to Jamarcus Russell played 3 years, 18 touchdowns.
Now that's an extreme bust, yes.
I will say Vince is on the cutoff, but I would say a bust, especially when you tell me he wins Rookie of the Year and just never gets any better.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the draft covers tomorrow, Marcus.
I appreciate that. I'm going to give you some good info.
Jake, thanks for letting me sit in and argue a little bit.
Absolutely, man.
It feels
Anytime.
Good. It feels good to get it in your system a little bit sometimes. So,
John, what do you want for lunch?
I got some food I'm eating right now.
Mm-mm-mm. An early lunch. An early lunch. I like an early lunch.
That felt good.
Some call it brunch.
I kind of felt, I would say brunch.
It's kind of brunchy.
Yeah.
Unless you're in elementary school, now it's lunchtime.
I kind of felt like that was kind of one of those moments where I feel like maybe I was what Bronny's going to feel like next year when he's on the same team as LeBron. Like, I just watched somebody, like, just, you know, hit an easy three, and I'm just like, wow, maybe one day I can do that too. I hit some really good layups, and, like, you know, I had a pretty good jumper, but, man, that three was something. Dad.
I just felt like you're a really good lawyer. You made your case really well.
I appreciate that. I tried to. I feel like I'm halfway decent at it.
Well, Marcus, I'm proud of you. How about that? I'm proud of you. You have derailed this show to the point where I don't even know how to recover it. This started in the second segment of hour number one, and it has continued unintentionally by a comment made by me trying to prove that the Titans have a drafting and a management problem. All of a sudden, we go on a tangent for three entire segments about whether or not Vince Young was a bust.
I'm going to put it to the field.
Oh, my goodness. What in the world did I ever do to deserve this? What did I do? I want to know what I did wrong in life to deserve this. By the way, Freddie DeLeon has committed to Penn State.
Oh, that's
really?
Weird.
What? That's a random one.
My head hurts. I don't know what's going on in this world right now. I want to know what's going on in this world right now.
Well, you just told us. That's some news. I mean, that's first, like, non-rumor we've heard. Like,
thank God.
Like, we got
Sammy Kincaid is coming on in the next segment. Thank goodness for that. I'm hungry.
DeLeon to Penn State. Wow.
Why would you go to Penn State? Why are you up?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I mean, good luck to him.
Does anybody have any ill will towards Guy?
No.
No. He has a cool name.
Did John really just walk in here with food?
He didn't really.
I think he thought we were on a break.
He didn't get a fair shake, man.
He didn't.
I wish he would have.
And unfortunately, that's been the case not only with him, but a couple of players that have come through here. There's nothing you can do about that as a fan. Really, there's nothing you can do about that as a player. I mean, Coach Barnes made up his mind, and that's where it just went. That's where it just went. There's nothing you can do, right? Absolutely nothing that you could do. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with the fan-run OG, Sammy Kincaid. Thank goodness. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the... Open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find. Reaching for something in the distance. So close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you.
Back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Pleased to be joined, thank God, by our friend, the Fan Run OG, Sammy Kincaid. Sammy, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little curious. That was quite the intro. Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God you have graced us with your presence, because all I have heard literally for the past hour is an argument about whether or not Vince Young is a bust. Of course, the NFL draft coming up tomorrow. In your mind, and this is going to settle the debate, men, was Vince Young a bust or was he not a bust?
No, I'll go with no.
Can I give my argument to why he was?
Sure.
Let's see if I can convince you.
It's over. No, you can't say anything. Jake said it's over. It's settled.
I'll just turn your mic off there, Brett. So, third overall pick. Top quarterback taken in your draft. You finish your career as a Titan, 42-42 with interception touchdown ratio. And then when you go to Philly, you have more interceptions. Goes 0-1 in the playoffs. My main argument is, sure, he has a winning record, you know, as a starter, I guess. But you go 0-1 in the playoffs, no success there. And you also are the first quarterback taken in that draft, third overall behind Reggie Bush, Mario Williams. To me, there's a lot of high expectations. If you're a top five pick, the top position quarterback, I don't know. I feel like it's a bust to me.
I feel like no matter what, you're going to have high expectations whenever you're going in. Even, I mean, yes, top five, but first, second round. So I get where you're coming from, but I wouldn't say a complete bust. That's why I was a little hesitant at first to say no, but I'm still going to stick with my no.
This is really heartbreaking.
I'm sorry to break your heart.
No, it's okay. You know, it's just I don't like when Brett has people on his side more than anything.
Finally, he gets big-headed.
And this is completely unbiased because, as you all know, we had to move things around this morning because it was a busy morning. So I did not hear who was on what side of anything. So that was very unbiased.
You're all good.
Well, let me tell you, it was atrocious. It was probably one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life, but it created great radio, so I decided to just roll with it.
Attaboy. You got some work done over there too, right?
I got a lot of work done for my day job while you all were doing
your
thing.
There you go.
But same, of course, the NFL draft coming up tomorrow, and of course there's a lot of talk surrounding who the Titans are going to pick. You know, at pick 7, are they going to go with Joe Alt? You know, Brock Bowers' name has been floated around. A couple of wide receivers have been floated around. In your honest opinion, what are the Titans going to do, and then what should they do with their pick?
I mean, I really think they have got to get things going offensively. They have got to figure something out. They have got to figure something out with that offensive line. And I think that's where they really need to focus on in this draft is that's something that, I mean, you got some defensive holes you got to fill in. I mean, they have really got to play this draft smart because the expectations going into last year, I remember being at fall camp And the vibe around fall camp, it was like, this is going to be the Titans' year. They have all the pieces in the right place. And then next thing you know, you got players getting hit with betting situations, and your O-line starts to fall apart. And then it just really unraveled and became a bad situation quick. And so I think that offensively, the O-line has to be strong this year. That's the one thing they have got to figure out that they've not been able to figure out. And it's proven that they cannot be successful if they can't get that together. So that's the big thing that I think, but they do need to fill in some of those defensive holes. But I really think the big piece for them is offensively to get things figured out in this draft.
There you have it. There you have it, Marcus. Get it figured out. Get your offense figured out.
Starts with the left tackle. That's what I've been saying. I'm on the same page with you. I think, look, you got some weapons in the offseason. It's always nice to add more weapons, but if the organization thinks that Will Levis is the guy, no better way to find out if he is the guy if he has a potential blue chip 10-year type of left tackle with Joe Alt. And that's how I feel about the draft anyway.
You're not
wrong,
Marcus.
Say that one more time. Sorry,
I was telling Marcus. He's not wrong, but at the same time, he's got to accept reality at some point. Ain't that right, Marcus? Anyway, Sammy. Of course, a lot of portal talk going on right now. It's like, where's Jonas Adu going to go? We know that he's visiting Arkansas. We know that he has made a visit to North Carolina and to Baylor. Nobody really knows what's up with that. All we know is he's not coming back to Tennessee. Tobey Awaka is going to be taking a few visits as well. I'm pretty sure he's visiting Arizona. And then Freddie DeLeon, someone who has left Tennessee, has decided to go to Penn State, of all places. This is a guy in which a lot of people thought he might be a late first rounder, early second, had he got to play this year. What do you think his mindset was behind making that pick, especially considering how much money he actually made at Tennessee this past year?
Yeah, no, I'm a little surprised by that one, especially you are seeing more significant play time, and it's just your redshirt freshman year, and like you said, possible first second rounder, and that's really surprising, because you're gonna see the play time get up if you were to stay and play, and it really doesn't make too much sense to me. So. Really surprised by that one, but there has to be conversations that have been had that we don't know about, you know.
Right.
Whenever you were looking at the portal and all of the movement that's going on, there's a ton of conversations that are going on that we won't know. You just mentioned that a couple of players. We don't know where they're going. We know where they're visiting. We don't know where they're going though. And same thing's happening with Barnes and conversations he's having with players that. Mm-hmm. You have no idea who he'll end up bringing on board. And so that makes me think that there's probably conversations with some other younger guys that would end up getting significant play time. This is just, obviously, I don't know of any of these conversations, but you do know that those conversations are going on. I don't know who they're with, but that's where my mind went first when hearing that he's transferring to Penn State is aware of something that he doesn't like that could impact his play time. And that's the only reasonable thing I can think of why he would transfer.
Very interesting. Brett?
We've talked so much about the men's team. I think Kim Caldwell has been doing a decent job. We've heard some announcements over the last week or so with the girls' team. I think obviously Rakia got drafted. Tamar Key's not coming back. Stripling's not coming back. But they also announced that Tess Darby and Jewel Spear, two key pieces, and also picked up a commitment, I think, in the portal from a Syracuse post player. Obviously, Darby and Spear kind of fit her, the way she likes to play, you know, the three pointers and things like that. Just your overall thoughts of how Kim Caldwell is doing out on the recruiting trail, Porter Trail, whatever you want to call it. We've been so caught up on Adu and Awaka and Milicic and who's coming in for the guys' team. But secretly and quietly, Kim Caldwell seems to be off to a pretty decent start for the girls.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it before she was hired, and would Tennessee be able to get somebody that a good coach? Would somebody want to come coach the Lady Vols because of where it was? I'm putting in quotes. You can't see me where the Lady Vols was at. But I mean, it's not hard to recruit to become a Lady Vol. Girls grow up wanting to become a Lady Vol. That's who they have always looked up to for decades. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that she's able to do well on the recruiting trail. And I think that's big. I still need to learn how to say your last name, but Alyssa Latham,
yeah, something
from Syracuse.
Like that.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. To bring in a transfer and be able to get some experience. It's big to have Tess Darby and Spear to come back and return. That's getting that buy-in from players that have been on the team and can really, as a new head coach, you need to have players like that that will have your back and help influence the rest of the team whenever you're trying to do something that maybe is a little bit different, or you're going to have different coaching styles. And so to have that buy-in and them say that they're returning next season, I think that's huge. I think that's probably the biggest thing. And then just adding on with the transfer and in recruiting, I mean, that's just an added bonus. But I think the biggest thing is Darby and Spear coming back.
Hey, Sammy, I know you're a Dolphins fan. And, you know, I think 21st pick overall is what y'all have. What are you looking for, trying to get? What positions y'all need, or is there a specific player you're seeing that you might want? What's it looking like?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can get to us some more weapons. I with the 21st pick, it's tough to say who's going to be left, you know, of those top targets that you're going to want. I'm curious to see if they try to make some moves to get a different pick. I don't know what will transpire tomorrow night, but all I know is we were just talking about the Titans, and offensively they have to get it going. Going into this next season, he's got to feel more comfortable with more guys on the offense. And so I think trying to bring in a big name, another big name for a wide receiver or somebody in the backfield with him, I think that would be huge for the Dolphins. I think that's where I would like to see something. That's where I felt very uncomfortable, especially in the last season with the Dolphins as a Dolphins fan. But, you know, I think that, I mean, with the 21st pick, I would hope to see more movement to try to get something a little bit better.
One of the things that, you know, we talk about the portal, and how it just affects and we've had this conversation just in general, and how it's affecting college sports. You're even seeing it in the women's game. Obviously, probably the biggest name being Haley Van Lith, if that's how you say it right, going from, obviously she went from Louisville to LSU. Now she's back in the portal again, rumors of TCU. This is a conversation we've argued about a little bit when it comes to the portal. Has the portal made it more difficult, not only just for men's but women's basketball as well, I feel like more than it does football, being able to really, I'm trying to find the right word, get to know, to really kind of enjoy a team, because it feels like you're getting a new player, almost like the NBA, you're getting a new player for 1 year and then they move on, and does it get harder to kind of build that connection to these college teams in basketball, both men's and women's, when you have these portal players hopping around trying to find where they're going to win at?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you only build those kind of relationships and getting to know somebody through time. If you don't have the time, you can't build that. And it's honestly, I have voiced my opinion on how much movement there is in the portal. I personally don't like it. I think if I'm a head coach, that's a red flag if a player keeps bouncing around like that. It made me raise questions of character issues, or why are they wanting to bounce around so much? And sometimes it could just be bad situations. You know, it's not always going to be character issues, but it does raise red flags and raise questions of why are they bouncing around like that? Why can't they find that home? And it's, I think, just this I don't want to say this generation. I sound old just then, you guys. Holy moly. but it really is just with social media and just trends of everything. If something's not an instant gratification, there's so many different options. So people are, all right, I'm out of here and on to the next thing. And where it used to be, you would wait it out and write it out and figure things out, you know? Things are just so different. And I think that it really impacts the development of the player as well. And I think that's going to, I mean, if you impact the development of the player at the collegiate level, I mean, that's going to end up impacting at the pro level too, you know? And I just think that I'm not the biggest fan of how much movement there is in the portal. I think that it should be regulated a little bit more because I think it does impact them more than just the fan not getting to know the player.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to deal with the problem of, you know, sometimes development is key into a new system. You know, if you have if we hop over to football, if you have a young running back who might get a chance to start his sophomore, junior year, but feels like he may not get that opportunity he wants as soon as he wants it. Well, now he's having to learn a whole new system. You know, talk about the NFL. Marcus Mariota had different offensive coordinators, it felt like, every single year, and that probably stunted a lot of his development. And I feel it's the same thing. If you're transferring around a lot, you're testing out new systems, new arenas, new teammates. There's a lot of change going on that can make it more difficult to hone in your game.
Absolutely. And I'll say from working in recruiting, because I worked in recruiting for several years, and watching some of those five stars come in as freshmen, just the they were taught to be a little bit more humble, I would say, because you come in and you're top dog in high school, you know, you're running all over the other players on a high school field. But whenever you come in at the collegiate level, I think that's probably the biggest jump, going from that high school to college level, and you're humbled. You aren't top dog anymore. And now whenever a five-star or four, even the four-stars, whenever they're coming in and they're being humbled like that, it is a huge ego hit to them that they're like, oh, I don't like this. And they jump ship when it ultimately will help them down the road. I think there should be more regulations, but like you're saying, even with the coaches, sometimes you can end up somewhere, and I get it if you're wanting to follow a coach, because that coach is who recruited you. So I think that that's a stipulation where I think it should be regulated, because I think you should be able to follow that coach, because that is who, whenever you're going through the recruiting process and just talking with those families, those families trust that coach and that staff to take care of their son or daughter, whatever sport we're talking about. So I get following the coach, because you may have a completely different philosophy than the coaching staff that's coming in. But I really do think that it stunts a lot whenever there's just so much movement.
Great stuff. Sammy, tell us where to find you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me. I keep it real easy. It's just my name, Sammy Kincaid, SamiKincaid.
Another fantastic performance by the OG of Fan Run Radio, Sammy Kincaid. Thank you so much, Sammy. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon, guys.
Stay with us. You okay, Marcus?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Sorry.
Back there sweating.
Just getting ready for the draft.
Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
She said that she saw me walking in about a mile away. Bean just had to take her phone and that just took her smile away. She said I'm too drunk and crazy. She don't like the way I dance. I said you don't have to join. Then she said she'd take a chance. I've been kind of crazy ever since.
Final segment of the program right here on Fan Run Radio, presented by SM Athletics. You need anything for your team, your business, whatever you need a logo on, we'll make it happen for you here at SM Athletics. Give us a call today at 865-966-3434. Visit us online at smathletics.com. I haven't had enough of a chance to look at my phone and see the reaction from our listeners. Jordan chimes in. He says, Brett says Vince Young isn't a bust because he has more wins than losses. but will beat his chest over LeBron having more losses in the finals than Jordan being 6-0. Make Ooh. It make sense.
It's a valid point.
Well, Marcus is always the one bringing up wins and losses.
Chuck in Virginia says, if Vince Young isn't a bust, then neither was Heath Shuler.
Valid point.
Heath Shuler's top five all-time bust.
Not necessarily.
Yes, I was just looking at an article for the – he was right behind Jamarcus Russell.
What was his win-loss record? Just
it was not – he got drafted to the Redskins, man.
Yeah, he was second overall.
It's right next to third overall.
Yeah.
Speaking of bust, Derek Dooley has come up with an idea in which a lot of people are going to see his name and shut it down immediately.
I did.
But it's actually a great idea, if you ask me. So basically what he's trying to do is spearhead a mission to create a playoff for the group of five, not just the traditional college football playoff.
Could you take him seriously if he came in and pitched you an idea?
Yes, the guy's a law school graduate.
Okay.
He's a law school graduate.
Graduate?
I'm from La Follette, man.
Sorry. What's Dooley proposing?
So, essentially, he is trying to organize a Group of Five playoff as a part of the Group of Five's dissatisfaction with the college football playoff revenue distribution. And quite frankly, I think it's a good idea, man. It's being backed by private equity firms. I mean, it's going to offset the financial setback under the new college football playoff media rights deal. The concept would address, if not be motivated by, the disappointment felt by the group of five conferences, i.e. the MAC, the Mountain West, the Sun Belt, the American, and Conference USA over revenue distribution series under the new college football playoff media rights agreement. The average program in those conferences will receive $1.8 million per year in CFP revenue beginning in 2026 under the new deal, up from the current payout of 1.5. The group of five splits 9%. I hate ads that pop up when I'm reading articles. I love ours. The group of five splits 9% of the annual $1.3 billion deal with ESPN, while the payout marks increase in raw numbers. It is a percentage decrease considering the group of five received 22% of the pot prior to the deal in 2014 that expired this past year in 2023. By comparison, the Big Ten and the SEC will each receive 29% of college football playoff money, millions more than any group of five league is paid in media revenue alone during a given year. Dooley did not immediately return a call requesting comment. Some believe a Big Ten and SEC breakaway has already occurred given the incoming revenue both conferences are set to receive. Big Ten and SEC demanded a larger share of the college football playoff pie, in part because of their playoff success over the last 10 years. Kind of deservedly so, though. So this would require 62 teams contained in the group of five, realigning into 8-team divisions.
I'm not against it. I mean, this could be a way where you make other bowl games worthwhile. Some of those smaller bowl games could turn into the playoffs for them. And now they mean something again. You're having an opportunity to make games have meaning at this point.
So what you're saying is my 32-team playoff isn't crazy.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have that many teams in one playoff. Having two separate playoffs?
Why not?
I think that makes sense.
Do like 16 in one and 16 in the other.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. 32 all in one, that's too many games.
All right, 24 and 24.
That's way too many.
Yeah.
The CFIT, the College Football Invitational Tournament for the losers.
I think having 2 16s would make
that's
sense.
It's
still a lot, but at least makes those lower bowl games that no one wants to play for make it worthwhile.
This doesn't change anything for me as far as watching them.
You don't watch the D2 or the FCS championships?
No.
Dude, those FCS championships, they get intense.
I might glance down like Carson Newman used to be pretty decent, right?
My cousin played on one of those teams.
Yeah, they were good. They were always battling somebody. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, no, I don't know. This doesn't change much for me.
My goodness, what happened to me in that generation? Family members that played basketball in college, football in college. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here behind this microphone.
Doing well, buddy.
I'm trying.
Not all of us can be caddies.
Marcus, you still need to demand your cut.
Didn't win.
It doesn't matter if you didn't win. They owe you lunch. You took time out of your Saturday in which you could have slept in like you sometimes do for this show.
I disagree.
I'm just saying. You could have.
No, you know, if we had won, I would have made some demands. But because we didn't win, I won't. You okay over there?
Get your money up, not your funny up, Marcus. Come on.
I'm a funny guy, though.
But get your money up first.
Mm-hmm. We didn't win.
Doesn't matter if you didn't win.
It's not about wins and losses, remember? It's about if you're a bust, and you weren't a bust.
So from the way I understand this, everyone was given drinks. Everyone was given breakfast.
Yeah, I partook of that.
Therefore, they owe you lunch.
I don't think that's how that works.
Marcus, I'll go to bat for you.
But I'm not – this is like
– I'll be your attorney.
This is like the when you have like the – what's the word? The union – say, hey, we're going to help you out. I'm good, actually. I'm fine. No. We're going to help you, though.
We are.
We're going to do this for you.
The Lions just locked up Amon St. Brown. 4 years, more than $120 million, $77 million dollars guaranteed.
Hey.
Don't like that. So, he's one of the best wide receivers.
So.
Got to make him highest paid now.
I'm on ChatGPT right now, getting you a contract, Marcus.
Oh, why? What contract?
Where do we think Amon-Ra ranks among receivers?
currently?
I feel like you could say he's top 10
for sure, yeah.
But would you go top 5?
No.
That might be a stretch.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You got Jefferson top 5, Chase top 5,
CD.
CD's top 10, but I wouldn't put him top 5.
Tyreek.
He just led the league in catches and yards last year.
And we still have Devontae Adams up there?
No.
No, top 10, but not top 5.
He doesn't have a quarterback.
Not top 5, though. Top 10, yes. Who else am I missing? I know I'm missing someone else.
Low-key.
A.J. Brown's top 10.
Debo?
Debo's top 10.
What?
I'm taking Amon-Ra over Debo.
I'm not even sure he's the best on his team.
Adams is top 10.
It's typing, Marcus.
Oh, no.
2. Houston Kress, Sam Beard, Tucker Harlan. Dear Houston, Sam, and Tucker, I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to bring to your attention the exceptional efforts put forth by Marcus Young during the recent Fan Run Charity Open. Marcus went above and beyond in his duties as caddy, contributing significantly to the success of the event. In recognition of Marcus's dedication and hard work, I am requesting that each of you contribute a caddy bonus fund for Marcus. Your contributions will be pulled together and provide Marcus with a well-deserved bonus for this outstanding service. Your prompt attention to this matter would be greatly appreciated. Please let me know if you have any questions or concerns. Thank you for your support. Jake Miller.
Wow. He's about fire, Jake.
Highest graded wide receivers last year, Tyreek Hill is 1, Ayuk 2, Nico Collins 3, Amon St. Brown 4, Jefferson 5.
What is this based
5.
On? What is this based on?
This is on PFF.
No, but what is it based on? Like just
I don't know, just his highest graded wide receivers from the 23 season.
That's just
so
like
that could be about anything.
What do you mean?
That could mean like one player like could have had a great season, but that doesn't mean they're top 10 right now. Like just because you have one good season, we're gonna all of a sudden like put them over some people. Like, I ain't putting.
The only one I'm from last year. Like, we're just going based off last year, right?
Just off last year. Yeah. No, I thought we're saying top 10 right now. Like, and that's
well, that's right now. Last year was right now, is it not?
You don't do top 10s right now based on just 1 year. And then A-Chan is the greatest running back to ever play. Then because he had a great year last year.
He only played 6 games.
Oh, but he was fantastic.
He wasn't better than Mostert. Just wasn't even better on his own team. Mostert led the league in touchdowns. How's A-Chain better than Mostert?
We got a call. We don't have a call. We had a call.
I missed it out of frustration. We only have a couple minutes anyway. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Whatever.
Based on your logic, we're just going based off last year, then you could handpick certain players and say, oh, well, they're top 5.
Were Hill and Ayuk not the best two wide receivers in the league last year?
I'm not putting Ayuk top 10.
Why? You're not, why?
Of playing receiver, like right now. Like we're
yes,
talking
right this. Now. Coming off the 23 season.
He's not top
who's
10.
Your top five
he's
receivers?
Top five?
Yes.
Justin Jefferson, who did not why? Have a good year, but he is still the best wide receiver in the league.
He was hurt. Don't, he was hurt.
Do not look at me
Brett,
like he's
he
not
hurt.
The best wide
okay.
receiver in the league.
Brett,
he was fifth. He was fifth. He's fifth on you.
In your eyes, Rashid Rice is a great quarterback.
He is.
Not going to put me his stats up this year, though, is he?
Well, tell you what,
unless
Jack,
you do a rec, unless they do a longest yard for
I owe you lunch for having to sit here and deal with this nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's great conversation.
Man,
you already said it was
Justin Jefferson.
See, there you
Jamar
go, Marcus.
Chase.
No. Time out. I appreciate your efforts today, Brett. I appreciate yours. Jack, this is my version of a caddy bonus. You've done a fantastic job manning the video, manning the podcast,
have
playing
you
traffic,
him poking the bear,
playing
though?
Weather.
He's Bojangles poked the bear a little bit.
But he's
bit.
Done a fantastic job. This is my caddy bonus to Jack. This is what should be done for Marcus Young. But Houston, Sam, Tucker, and Bear are not contributing.
Why would Bear contribute?
Because that's the bottom line. Because G.I.
Jake
like said
does,
so.
Does
he
Bear deserve
up
lunch?
That hill.
Bear deserves lunch. He was working the golf course like crazy.
Was he really?
Spreading rumors that you were sending him to send my
no,
way.
No, that was a rumor
playing
that
a
he started. That
he was playing great music.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he. You didn't like his music?
Oh, the guy literally looks at his phone, says, "Hey Siri, play Wonderwall about 20 times a day." He gets tired of that, and then it's Champagne Supernova.
Is that not a good song? That's a good song, right?
It's fine until you hear it 20 times in a row when you're around him. No.
It's trying to play it for him.
It just played it for me. I don't want that. My goodness, that's the bottom line because G.I. Jake said so. That's going to do it for us. The Herd with Colin Cowherd coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.